are dismissed. Thanks.
My last name is Carpenter, actually. That's okay. That's all right. I always wanted to be at the beginning of the alphabet. Last month, the 15th of last month, I asked how many of you read your Bibles every day. And so that was kind of a challenge a month ago to today. How many of you read your Bibles this last month? How many of you open your Bible up every day and read something every day? I think it's important that we do that. Why do I think it's important that we do that? Well, it's talking about history, right? We all understand that. It's actually His story, right? It's God's story. And I can't remember if I mentioned last time the 72 nations in Tower of Babel. Did I mention that last time? The 72 nations in the Tower of Babel, that's where all the nations came from, was the Tower of Babel. When they all got together and they spoke in different languages because God made them that way so that they didn't what? Try to do that again, right, to build a tower. So there were 72 different nations, and God dispersed those 72 different nations to different beings, okay? Whether it's Himself, which He took the children of Israel, Abraham's, right? And He's the one that wanted those people for what reason? What were the children of Israel chosen? Because there was something special? No, right? They were supposed to share what with the rest of the world? God's knowledge, God's love, right? What is our commission as Christians? We are supposed to share what with the rest of the world? Now, can any of us go anywhere and share it with people? Yes. But what's our main purpose? It's your cell group of people or your certain group of people that are around you on a regular basis. You're supposed to share God's love with them. And they're supposed to share God's love with you, right? So when we come to church, what do we come to church for? Is church where you bring somebody that's lost to get them saved? Yeah, okay, that can be done that way, right? But where's that supposed to be done? In fellowship with who? Christians. So it's our responsibility to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ with people that are lost, and we're supposed to encourage who? The saints. Who are the saints? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Raise your hand. You're a saint. Right? So you come here to get fired up, to get encouraged, to go out and do what? Face the world this coming week. Now, the children of Israel, they've got all kinds of highs and lows in their life, right? We see that, and we think, what a bunch of foolish people. How many of you have ever thought that? The Israelite people were foolish people. How many of you think that you're just like the children of Israel? Yep, we're just like the foolish people of Israel, right? So, but we have actually the written word of God. So we can open it up and read it every day for what? Encouragement? Yeah. For discouragement? Discipline? Yeah. Right? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were laws laid down by who? God. For what purpose? To make us feel bad and to make us feel like we have no freedom at all? No. They were guidelines, laws to live by for what? Godly living. So if we don't know what they are, if we don't read the Bible, how are we supposed to look like Jesus Christ? Because that's what He wants us to do, right? Jesus Christ wants us to go out and show, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 5, Lord's Prayer, chapter 6, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are we supposed to be doing on earth here while we're here? Showing people what? What heaven looks like? How many of you have watched, maybe us at times, other Christians, and you think, wow, that's not what I think Jesus looks like. That's not what I think Jesus talked like. That's not how I should really be. Thank God for grace. Yeah. Thank God for grace. And the children of Israel, in the story this last week that we had, right? The story was about a group of people that wandered for about 3 years, right? Got the Ten Commandments, and they went to go in to the what? Promised Land. It's the land that God had what? Promised them. What has God promised us? Correct. So if God has promised it, will it be done? Yes. Did the children of Israel get in trouble because they didn't, what? They didn't believe it, did they? They let Satan come in, right? Have you guys ever heard through the book of Psalms and chapter, the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Where it's talking about that, it's God taking care and providing for us. And at the end of it, it says, I have prepared a table before you in what? The presence of your friends? Presence of your enemies. Why is it in the presence of your enemies? Because if they're your enemies, you're supposed to be showing them what? What God looks like. And the consequences of what happens to us if we don't honor and follow God. So are we allowing Satan to eat at the table with us and God? Or have we kicked him out and it's only us, but we're showing our love to people that are lost? And we're showing our encouragement to the saints, those that are saved. That's our job. That's our mission, isn't it? The children of Israel were supposed to be showing all of the other nations how great this God is, right? And they would follow him for... There's examples of years at a time, right? It didn't take them long to get discouraged, did it? So how many of us get discouraged really quickly when things don't go quite the way we think they'd ought to go? How many of you have ever had God show up in your life and do something great? Raise your hand if you have. It's amazing how quick we forget about those good things that God has done for us, right? Let's not forget those things. Let's not be like the children of Israel here. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. For each ancestral tribe, sent one of the leaders. So it says, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I have taken away from the children of Israel, right? No, it says, which I have what? Given. So why was there a question? When the 12 went in, you remember camp? How many of you remember camp? 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What did they see when they spied on Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants, big and tall. Some saw, what's that next word? Nobody knows it. That's so sad. So, what did they see? Two of them, right? Who are the two that saw the good? Joshua and Caleb. They saw what God had what? Promised that would be theirs. The other 10 saw what? Fear. Right? Are we allowing fear to control our lives? Are you allowing fear to control your lives? Did you have a God sighting this last week? Did you see God intervene in your life this last week and bless you somehow, some way? Hopefully all of you saw God bless you some way this last week. Because he does. I believe every day he blesses us. Every day he gives us something to encourage us, I believe. And sometimes we just don't look very hard for it. I have a men's Bible study that meets at my business that I have in Meadville and on Thursday night. And so we try to always have God sightings. I try to encourage the men to see things that God has done in their lives. And I will encourage you to find things that God has done in your life, how he's blessed you, how he's honored you, how he's taken care of you, how the promises in Scripture that, and I mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, that there are so many blessings, I believe, that we don't get from God because we don't honor him through the difficult times. What are difficult times for? Are they to discourage us? Are they to make us feel terrible? No, they're not. They're so that we can see how God actually works, right, through us, through other individuals. Suffering and terrible things are caused by what in this world? Sin. The Ten Commandments are written as guidelines to honor God with, right? And we will receive blessings if we live like that. And if we don't live like that, what do you get? So if you don't obey the Ten Commandments, it's called sin, right? So what does sin lead to? Death. What is death? Separation from God. So if we have sin in our life, we are separating ourselves from God, right? And the only way to get back to God is through what? The atoning blood sacrifice of who? Jesus Christ. And in these scriptures that lead up to where we are, it's talking about having to sacrifice animals, bring grain offerings, all of that kind of stuff. And we've all read that, right? Hopefully you have. How many of you are glad you don't have to bring a lamb and a bull and a ram and the grain and all of that stuff to church and bring it up here and put it on the altar and sacrifices? Can you imagine how bloody that was? My goodness. And all the death. And all of the death was because of what? Sin. Christ being put on the cross was because of our sins and our forefathers' sins, right? So why do we keep on sinning? It's what?
Easy.
It's easy. For selfishness, isn't it? For pride. Because we think we know better. And we just talked about the children of Israel, how foolish they were. They were right at the place where they needed to be, right? And they would have received what? The promised land. How many times do we come to the place where God really wants us to be and we make the wrong decision? We turn left, or we turn right, or we go backwards. We just don't honor him through it. Now, hopefully there's somebody out there that has honored God with things in their life and they have blessings because of that, right? I have many of those examples in my life. And I have many reasons why I need to follow God, because how he's provided for me and how he's taken care of me. But the biggest one is that Jesus Christ lived in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And he gave that all up for what? For me. For you. To come down here. For everybody that's in the history of Scripture. He gave that all up for them. Right? And what are we asked to sacrifice back? Our lives, right? To give back. We just had an offering time. Wouldn't it be great to have an offering time? And you get to write out the check for your neighbor. You get their checkbook from them on Sunday morning, and you write the amount that they need to be given to the Lord. Or you take out the dollar bills that are in the billfold or the wallet, and you give that to the Lord. And you want to give the way God wants you to give, right? So you're going to give generously, right? See, we'd ought to be able to do that. We'd ought to be willing to give generously to our God because of everything that he's given to us, right? Each breath that I take is a gift from God. Because I had a heart transplant 12 and a half years ago. So each breath I get to take is truly a gift from God. Now, there are things that I have to do in order to keep that. You might not think of that, but there's little pills I have to take every day. That actually keeps my body from killing my heart. Because if you have a sliver in you, that sliver gets infected, right? And it's easier to get out, right? Well, my body would do the same thing to my heart, so I gotta keep up with that. 5 days, if I forget to take it for 5 days, it's all over with. So my wife holds the medicine, puts it in her pocket. And... No, she doesn't do that. But I want to encourage you guys. I want you guys to be encouraged by what Jesus Christ has done for us, by the scriptures that we get to read. So God promised the Israelite people the land of Canaan, right? And then if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. How many of you can think of scriptures in the New Testament where Christ says, do not be afraid? I will do what? I will go with you, right? In the Old Testament, you hear God about showing up in places, right? In the cloud, right? We remember that. In the pillar of fire, right? He shows up and impresses himself upon prophets, right? And they prophesy. And Jesus, when right before he's put on the cross, he tells his apostles, what does he tell them? That I am going to prepare a place for you, right? So he tells them a promise. Is that promise ours too? Yeah. So he is going to prepare a place for us. But what is the one thing that he says right at the end to comfort them? What does he say? I am going to do what? Send the comforter, right? And who's the comforter? What's the comforter? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just kind of floats around here, right? Just because you can see smoke and just all that stuff. No, where does the Holy Spirit live at? In us. In who? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the only people that the Holy Spirit lives within, right? How do you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, in the book of Acts, it tells us, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? There are ways to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just that baptism does it, right? It's obedience to what God's word says that we need to be doing to be a participant in this thing called Christianity. And the Israelite people, in order for them to be a participant in the land that God promised them that was flowing with what? Milk and honey. The only way they could do that is be what? Believe that what he said was true. And they had to do what in order to do that? They had to cross over the Jordan River, didn't they? How many of those people that were at the beginning that got out of Egypt got to go to the land flowing with milk and honey? Two. Well, somebody pointed out in Sunday school class that Moses was actually buried over there, so he ended up there, but he didn't get to go in there because of what in his life? Sin. The Israelite people didn't go in there because of what in their life? Sin. So what sin is it that is in our lives that we need to be repentant of? Because the only way for forgiveness of our sins is through the blood of Jesus Christ, right? So you have to believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And there are all kinds of places in Scripture where when they didn't obey God, there was consequences for it. The sad thing is I don't think we get to see the consequences quite soon enough for our sin. How many of us get ticked when things don't go right or something happens to us and when we say, well, it's God punishing us? The world says it's God, it's your God. If your God was truly love, he would da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And that's not true, is it? Because there's consequences to what? Sin. There's just like there's consequences to being obedient to God's word. So it's a choice we get to make. We either can sin or we can be obedient to God's word. I encourage people to stop sinning. I encourage myself to stop sinning. How many of you think that's piece cake, stop sinning? How about trying loving God more? Well, that sounds more manageable, doesn't it? So if what I'm saying is if I love God more, then I will probably do what less? Sin less. I will live a sin-less life. Not free of sin, but I will be sinning less. And the only way I can do that is through what? The indwelling of who? The Holy Spirit, God Himself, the God that actually picked up dirt at the end of the creation. And what did He do with it? Breathe life into it. And man walked away. That God can do that. That's the God I want to serve. Not the little g God that's money, that's possessions, that's accolades. I want to worship that God. I want to honor that God. And that's why I encourage you to read the Bible. Because when we spend time in Scripture, we will be doing what less? Sinning. When we spend time in Scripture, we will be loving people what? Better. But it's only accomplishable through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? How do we know if somebody's a Christian or not? Well, because they say they are, right? And is Christianity what it's about, or is it about a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior? It's about a relationship, isn't it? How many of you know that if you don't spend time in communication with your wife or with your husband, your relationship gets better or worse? It gets worse. So if we don't spend time reading Scripture, our relationship with our God will get what? Worse. Because it's not transported to us supernaturally and just imposed in our brains, is it? No, it's something we have to do. It's something we have to practice. You've all heard of Jehovah's Witness, right? You know, we all realize they're really lost, right? But man, they are committed to going and practicing. Going and practicing the indoctrination of what their leaders say you need to do. And they spend hours a week doing that. But yet we can't spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible? How many of you that if you got paid on the hours that you really worked at work, you might not bring home as much as what you are? So if God's going to bless us on how much we're trusting Him, on how much we're following Him, on how much we're doing what Scripture says we need to be doing, how many blessings do you think we'd ought to be getting? My dad used to have a saying. He would hear people complain about, oh, their life is terrible, and if God would just do this. How many of us have said that? If God would just answer this prayer, it would be so much easier on me, right? And my dad would say, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, gave His life for you, before He even knew you, or before you even knew Him. What else do you think He'd ought to do? Gave us the opportunity to be with Him and the Father in heaven. What else does He need to do? What else should we be doing? How should we be loving Him better? The fruit of the Spirit. Can anybody name those? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy. What is it? Self-control. What are those? They are the fruit of what? The Spirit. So if we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, what should it look like in our lives? Should we show love? Should we show peace? Should we show mercy? Should we show self-control? All of those things, right? We should be showing those, right? For what reason? So that people know what God looks like. That's what the Lord's Prayer is telling us, right? Our Father who, does everybody know that? Let's say it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us today our trespasses, daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we do what? Forgive those who trespass against us. Man, there's a tripper. There's a tripper, isn't it? Forgive those who have trespassed against us so that you will do the same for us. You know, they have done so much wrong to me, I'm not going to forgive them. That might be dangerous. Loving people the way Christ loved us. Gosh, I think he actually hung on the cross and gave his life for us. So we're supposed to give our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Oh, man. Now things are getting tough. Man, it's just not believing now, is it? It wasn't the Israelite people believing that God gave them the promised land. They had to go do what? Take it. Trust that God would be with them, right? But they had to wander around for 40 years. How many of you feel like you've been wandering around for years? Let's get focused on what our purpose is as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we come here, we're to encourage one another, right? So that we can build each other up, so that we can go out into the world that's such a pleasant place to be, right? No, but we should be making it more pleasant so that we are showing people what? What looks like? What heaven on earth. We're supposed to show people what heaven looks like here on earth. And those are just good suggestions, right? The Ten Commandments are just good suggestions, right? No. We really don't have a choice in it. If we're gonna say that I'm part of the kingdom of God, what do I have to do? I have to actually be part of the kingdom of God. And in order to be part of the kingdom of God, there's some things I better be doing, just like the Israelite people, right? But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness your bodies will fall. Everyone 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter into the land I swore with uplifted hand to make you your home, except Caleb, son of Jephaniah, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will give them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in the wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land. You will suffer for the sins and know what it is like to have me against you. How many of you would rather have God on your side or against you? I'm for the on your side one. But there are some things we have to do in order to do that, isn't there? And if you're not sure what those things are, find one of the elders and have a conversation with them, or have a conversation with me about that. I would love to share that with you. Because my purpose on this earth and my wife's purpose on this earth is to be what? And your purpose is to be disciple makers for Jesus, right? What is a disciple maker? A disciple maker is, first of all, they have to be a disciple of Jesus, right? And then you need to be out discipling others to show them what a disciple looks like, what it needs to be like. So we need to be making disciples, right? If we call ourselves a Christian, we need to be making disciples. How many of you are making, and don't raise your hands because I don't want any of you to be embarrassed, but how many of you are making disciples for Jesus, actively doing that? I would encourage you to actively do that. If you don't know how to do that, come talk to me. Or come talk to your elders. And if the elders aren't sure, come talk to me. There are things that we need to be doing to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ to people that are going where? To hell. Do you care if anybody goes to hell or not? Do you really care? If you're not out making disciples for Jesus Christ, I would say you don't care. Yeah, I get to say that because I don't get paid for what I do. You guys can't fire me, right? I can make you feel a little uncomfortable, but the whole thing is this scripture, this Bible, from beginning to end was all about what? Reconciling lost men and women back to who? Back to the God that created them. And we have got to be passionate about that, because how many of you believe the end time's coming? I think it's coming. And the book of Revelation was written so that we would be what? Scared to death of it? No, so that we would see that things are happening, that the world is ending. And when the people go to hell, that's going to be where who's not there? God. And we might think, well, God ain't here, but this ain't hell, and it'll get a whole lot worse, because hell is where God's not. And thank God that we still have believers here on this earth that are willing to share what Christ has done in their lives to the people that they don't know who Jesus is. And then how many of you struggle with the hypocrisy of people going out and saying, I'm a Christian, and then they go out and get drunk, or they get just all kinds of stuff happens, right? And they're not living for the Lord, and it's obvious. Do we care enough to have them as brothers and sisters and encourage them? Hey, listen, you know, God's coming back. You know, do we have accountability, somebody that holds us accountable for when we say something or do something we shouldn't be doing? We need to get those people in our lives. Why? So that we can be closer to God rather than hanging on the edge of the rope that's swinging around the cross saying, how far away can I get from Christ and still be saved? No, we want to be on our knees before the foot of the cross, right? We want to be as close to Christ as we possibly can, not see how far away we can get and we're still okay. So the encouragement for you today is read Scripture, because it will encourage you. There is a God in here that is faithful. And this book wasn't written to beat somebody over the head with. It was written so we could see how much God loves us, how much He gave us so that we could become closer to Him and walk with Him. And we have the game changer with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's how it's all accomplishable. Can I do this? No, I can't. Can I be this person that God wants me to be without Him indwelling within me? No, I can't. Thank God for Jesus Christ dying on the cross so that I could have eternal life. But with me saying that, when I'm not sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people who are lost, I don't care about them. And that's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. And if they don't realize it, whose job is it to share that with them? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Every one of you, raise your hand. It's your job to share with your neighbors how much this God that loves you loves them just as much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Almighty God, as we have this ending time of the worship service, Father, and just thank you for the music and the instruments that were played, Lord, and how it blesses you and honors you. And Father, help us to remember that the word worship isn't something we just come and sit and get to enjoy. It's actually a verb. We are to be participants in it, Father. And worship just isn't what we do on Sunday morning. It's our whole life, Father. It's what our life looks like to you. Our lives should be a song or an example of worship to you, Father. Father, I would ask that every person here would be emboldened, Father, with the Holy Spirit, that they would realize that there is nothing that they can't do with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we can't accomplish, Father, with you indwelling in us. Father, I would ask that each person would feel so empowered by the God that we see in Scripture. And this God that we see in Scripture, man, He can be merciless on people. He will wipe out entire peoples that have hurt the people that He loves. He will eliminate them from the face of the earth. It talks about when they had to go in and kill husbands, women, children, everything, Father, had to be annihilated. Lord, it is a serious thing when we say we're a Christian, Father. There was blood that was shed for us, Father, and that was your Son that did that. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for your Son dying on the cross. And Christ, thank you so much for being willing to do that. And the thing that I think about when Christ is hanging on the cross, he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The folks that put him up there, that killed him, hung him on a cross, stuck a spear in his side, Father, nailed him there, said to the people, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's in your Son's name I do pray. Amen. You are dismissed.